Welcome, welcome to the Atlanta Startup Podcast. I am Waima Dike, the Managing Director of Startup Runway, the leading platform linking underrepresented founders to capital and investors. On this episode of the Atlanta Startup Podcast, I am ecstatic to welcome Ryan Knight, founder of Honey to Coco, and our newest winner of the Women's Empowerment Prize at the 24th edition of the Startup Runway. Ryan, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So excited. Okay, so I want to jump right into it. So please share a bit about what you're building with Honey to Coco.
Yeah, so we're building a beauty app that will leverage AI to help people of color match their skin tones. And that's just the basis of what we want to do. Beyond that, we want to change the way that people shop for cosmetics digitally. And we want to eliminate the need to go into the store. And so we want to not only do foundation matching, but we want you to be able to try products on using the app, using AR technology. And we want to give you recommendations for products based on your unique skin tones. So we're trying to be that beauty advisor in your pocket, in an app.
I love that. And as someone who has spent probably over my lifetime, probably hundreds of dollars on makeup that I never using or used because I felt like I should just use it, but was unhappy with the buying experience because I couldn't try before. I'm super excited to see this platform continue to grow and become more and more available to folks. So tell us a little bit of why you found this problem so important for you to solve.
Yeah, I was a makeup artist for 10 years. So I would freelance as like a side hustle. And I primarily did makeup for women of color. And almost every single time that I would do makeup for a client, they would say like, hey, can you go to the store with me and help me figure out which shade? Like, because I went to Sephora and like they tried to help me, but like I took it home and it looked different. So I was explaining to them why it looked different, the science behind it and just like how to make sure that they mitigate that from happening. But they're like, can you just come with me? They would offer to pay me to come with them. And so I wouldn't take their money. And I was like, I want to come with you because I want to buy makeup too. So I would go with and help them out. And then that happened a lot. And then there was another inflection point where there was a brand that was coming out with a bunch of new lipsticks. And at this point, I was thinking of running a blog. And so I Googled name of this lipstick on black skin and I got a bunch of Caucasian women. And I was like, that is so crazy. That is insane. So I went on Instagram and then I got better luck. But I was like, there should be like some space where you can see what these things look like on brown skin in one spot. And so that's where it kind of dawned on me. It's like, oh, maybe I could just make that the premise of the blog. And so Honey to Coco actually started as a blog in 2017. I ran a blog for years and I was also kind of like a beauty influencer and I would do looks and I would show what products look like on different skin tones and did that for a few years. And then the second inflection point that made me kind of shift away from the blog into an app was when Fenty Beauty launched their foundation range. And they were the first brand in a very long time to launch with 40 shades that accommodated brown skin. And they had such a successful launch. They did so well in sales that you started to see all these other brands follow them. And they launched all these other foundations. So the problem shifted from not having enough shades to having so many. And I think what brands were trying to do were obviously capitalize on the market, but also, solve an equality issue, but there's still an equity issue in that we don't have the experience with having all of these products and we have little guidance. And so I thought that because I was so passionate about it, it was a problem that affected me and so many people that I knew, it was something that I wanted to tackle.
I love that you have a couple things meaning to spark what you, the effort you're doing now. You have your own personal experience and expertise. You have your own creative a solution, the blog, in a way, years of that experience, and then ultimately the passion that you have. And so all of that's leading to this new app development. And I'm really excited to see that. That to me, that is many ways kind of what crystallized motivation and the spark that will keep you going up some of us for most cases, very steep journey of being a startup founder. And so I would love, with that kind of pivot, I would love to hear about what your experience has been so far in building this app, whether that be any early feedback from either customers or potential partners and investors.
Yeah, I would say so far, it's been so affirming in building this app. So we are in beta, like I mentioned, we have about half of the app built, the MVP built, but it is, it's functional. And so that the part that's functional is being beta tested. And in all of my interviews with the beta testers, before they even see the app, I asked them, if there was a technology that could do this for you, what does that look like? And they almost always explain exactly what we're building, which is incredibly affirming. So that experience has been really great to conceptualize. I have this idea that you've just come up with, and then you actually build it, and you have this physical app in front of you, and then other people are using it, and they're just like, oh my God, like it was so easy to go through the app, or like, oh my God, it actually matched me. Because we do send them samples, and they do report back whether or not it was a match. So it's been definitely rewarding getting that in front of customers. I would say from an ecosystem standpoint, in terms of like investors or like other founders, we've gotten a lot of really great feedback centered around like what we're doing and the idea itself, and a lot of excitement, a lot of like, oh, you know, this is something that's really different and neat. A lot of the times when we are applying to different programs, we're the only beauty tech company there. And so there's a lot of like eyebrows raised because it's like, it's a different thing. So it's been really encouraging. And obviously we get a lot of constructive feedback, but that is obviously welcome. Like it only helps me understand like how best to communicate what we're doing, but also what to focus on to make ourselves a stronger candidate or a stronger business.
That's exciting. So actually I wanted to ask another question around your journey. What has been, you mentioned a bit about what's been really rewarding for you. What has been challenging along in this journey?
Resources. I unfortunately was not born wealthy. I do not have the capital. And I've had to bootstrap all of that. And it's not even just about the dollars. It's about the resources. Trying to figure out who to meet and who to ask for what. And I just moved to Atlanta in June of last year. So I haven't even been here a year yet. And trying to insert myself into that ecosystem and meet people and understand who I should be talking to and building relationships with has been challenging. I would also say finding a co-founder is challenging. It is my understanding that is essentially a marriage. And it's just been quite a journey trying to get the right person in who understands the level of commitment that this is going to require from just a time and just output standpoint has been challenging. And then I think the third thing would be with any business or anything you're doing at this magnitude, there is a challenging mental and emotional aspect of it. You're so connected to this thing. It's a part of you, and you really want it to look a certain way, and you want things to happen on a certain timeline, and they don't. And there's a lot of managing your expectations and managing your mental and emotional well-being in the midst of doing this. And that's why I think it's important that your why is so strong, because there are days where it's hard to get up and do it, especially after you just had a rejection. I just got rejected this morning from someone. But you experience it so much, and it stings a little bit, but eventually you learn how to stick to your why and you let that motivate you and to keep trying.
That resonates so much. It's actually with all the different problems and all the different solutions different founders are trying to pull together in this ecosystem. That's the most consistent feedback around this process, that the why is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And that there will be the days where you have to show up after just getting a no or a tough no, a tough rejection, and still have to figure out to show up to the next opportunity with the same energy and the same motivation. And so that is what's pretty ubiquitous about this experience when you're going through as a startup founder. But I'm sure our listeners will be very inspired, but to hear a little bit of what they may be going through and what you're saying today. So thanks for being really transparent on that piece. On a lighter note, though, you were a recent winner our past edition. You were the Women's Empowerment winner, and actually wanted to highlight you were also the audience winner as well, in the sense that you had the most votes in the crowd. But we wanted to also be able to share a prize with another guest. The second best was able to get the second most votes, if you will, was able to get a prize as well. But I wanted to get a sense from you of what your experience was at the Startup Runway.
Oh my God, it was lovely. I mean, to context, it was my very first time pitching live on stage. Like, I pitched before, but as you Zoom, so it's easy to hide behind the camera. but this was my first time pitching in front of human beings in person. And so when I walked in, I was greeted by a group of the other founders. And so we kind of huddled and we were just kind of talking. And it was so great. And I just said, you know, I'm practicing this thing where I'm just like calling out the thing. I'm like, this is my first time here. I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, me too. And so it was really great to have that camaraderie there. Mm-hmm. And then we moved into the mentor sessions, and that went far better than I expected. And it was really great to sit down with people and just talk about, you know, something in your business that you're struggling with. But beyond that, like, the conversation flowed into so many other things centered around the business. And it was just really great to have those conversations and get that support. And it was great that you really didn't have a sense of, because one of my mentors was Will, one of the judges. I had no idea. And I'm glad I didn't. That was great. so we just had this really casual conversation that really flowed. And I was really grateful for that one-on-one time with them. And then the actual pitching experience was great. It was good to go up there, do your thing. And then I appreciated the opportunity to answer some questions at the end of it, because it was a really great time for me to reiterate, like, that I'm looking for a co-founder, a technical person. Here's what I'm looking for. It was a really safe space, I would say. Even though you're nervous, it's your first time, I felt safe. I felt supported. And it was a great venue to get those first time jitters out. While also, you know, pitching and doing this big thing. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed the experience.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. And I will note that having watched you pitch, I would have never guessed that was your first time pitching live. You did so well. I didn't see nerves. You flowed really well. You obviously seemed as though you prepared. So actually, on that note, can you share a bit about what you did do to prepare, since you were able to win based on whatever your preparation was? I would love for you to share with the audience or folks who might be trying to get their stuff together for a pitch, some tips that you might be able to offer.
Of course. So the first thing I did was I pitched at ATDC's, the practice pitch sessions they have. And heard everything that was wrong about my thing. And I was like, okay, I need to go fix it. awesome. And then I partnered with my mentor and my advisor, and also watched some pitches from other programs and realized that they were kind of telling a story. And so I reworked my script and reworked some of my slides. And I practice in front of my roommate. I practice in front of the dog. Practice. I rehearsed it. And I timed myself. And not only that, I came up with a list of questions that I have been asked by investors or asked by people in general, and just like a bunch of like topics in which people would challenge me on. And I made sure I rehearsed the answers to those two, just in case those were questions that I was asked. So it's a lot of just like doing it in front of people and getting that feedback and then going back and fixing it and then just continuously practicing.
I love that practice, practice, practice. And actually made a really great plug for a program at the Advanced Technology Development Center, the ATDC. They have it's I think they're mentioning the Feedback Fridays. So on Friday afternoon, they host about an hour, but I'm sure it goes over sometimes, where anyone who is trying to pitch, even if they have a very rough idea, they can go in and get an idea, get some feedback on their pitch. So it seemed to work out for you. So I love that you found that and you jumped on that. Awesome. So I actually want to give you a chance to share a bit around what's next for Honey to Coco. What do you have on deck? And any other things that you want to highlight for listeners, including those who may be investors or ecosystem builders? This could be your chance to shout out, and who knows who will hear and connect to that. So what do you have up next for Honey to Coco?
So we are iterating on our MVP, and scoping out what it would take to build an algorithm that allows us to use the front-facing camera to scan the skin tone and connect to products. So we are heads down building that. We're continuously accepting beta testers. So we've got our program that is continuously running. So if we have any people who are people of color who are over 18, have access to iOS, we want all of them to come help us test the app. And then we're hoping to launch sometime between late fall, early winter, to launch the app as we have it. Hopefully we can launch a little bit sooner and get it into the hands of the general public and then continuously build improvements upon it from there. But yeah, I mean, at this point, we're building and then wanting to get as much feedback on what we've built as possible. And the last thing is just hiring. Like I mentioned earlier, we are looking for a technical co-founder, someone who has heavy experience in the machine learning and AI space. And we want to bring someone on board who could really help us set that technical strategy. We've got some folks on the team already who are building away, but we do need that leadership. We do need someone to come in and really own it. So yeah, I think with the next couple of months, that's what we're going to be heads down focusing on, is just like hiring efforts and then product development.
I love it. I love it. So hopefully folks help hear that. And so actually with that note, actually before I get to that, do you have any other last thoughts you'd want to leave with the listeners?
The only thing is, I love an opportunity like this, to really get it out there. And I just want to say, like, we could not do half of what we're doing without the people who are going to be using the app. And so it's very important for me to get in front of people who are interested in testing and using. So if there's anyone out there who's interested or knows someone who is interested, please let me know. We need as much feedback as we possibly can. So yeah, that would be my final thoughts. We need people.
Loud and clear. So yes, exactly. On that note, then, where can folks find you?
You can find me on Instagram. So we have my personal page, Ryan Knight, RieanKnight. And then we have the business page at Honey to Coco, HonyToCoCoA. And then you can also find me on LinkedIn. Again, first name Ryan, last name Knight, RieanKnight. And say hi, I'm around.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's another Atlanta Startup Podcast, and hopefully have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for being a part of the community of courage by listening to the visionary founders and investors on the Atlanta Startup Podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss a single episode of the over 200 investors and founders sharing their insider tips and secrets to growth. Our regular listeners tell us we're the briefing room for the innovation economy in the fastest growing region of the country, the South, and when you subscribe, you become part of the inside circle. The Atlanta Startup Podcast is proudly hosted by Valor VC. Valor is a venture capital firm that leads seed rounds in AI and B2B SaaS startups. If you like the podcast, check out more of Valor's programs for courageous founders and investors, like Startup Runway. Over $100 million in early-stage venture capital is catalyzed through Startup Runway's grant-making program for pre-seed startups. Go to startuprunway.org to learn more and apply directly for non-dilutive capital. Valor celebrates VC Day, the largest early-stage private capital conference in the region, at the end of the year. Top founders, leading VCs, endowments and family offices attend. Learn more at vc.day. At Valor, courage is the currency of innovation and the heartbeat of our culture. Thanks for listening and join us again next week.